I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel caught our attention recently, titled "For Two Syrian Brothers, A New Home in Milwaukee." Michael Chabo, his brother John, fled Syria in 2012 at a time when ISIS didn't even exist. They now live in Milwaukee, and they follow what's going on in their country on CNN and BBC and on a group on Facebook. They came to this city a year after their escape from Syria, and this past summer, after a lengthy process, their applications for asylum were approved. Today they have jobs, they have friends, they have an apartment, they are studying. Their story of leaving was harrowing, and of course what's been happening to their hometown of Aleppo has been just absolutely heartbreaking. They'll talk about the asylum process, about why they had to leave, and about really building your whole new life in a new land where you arrive and all of a sudden there's 33 inches of snow on the runway, and you probably haven't seen a whole lot of snow in your lifetime, nor do you have the clothes for that. And plus, we're in a time when refugees, particularly from the Middle East, are not entirely welcomed with open arms. So we have a lot to talk about with Michael and John this hour, and we'll be looking forward to taking your phone calls for them as well. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. They are also members of a Christian band. They were in Syria, and they are in the United States as well. So they have a much beloved guitar that their father saved for them, risking his own life. And the keyboard we aren't able to play here in our studios, but we'll figure out some way for them to do it and put it on our Facebook page eventually, okay, so you can actually see them and hear the keyboard and the guitar. Michael and John, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for coming to the studios.
Well, thank you for having us.
It is just amazing what's happened in your life in a very short period of time, isn't it? I'm sure that you never thought that you would wind up in Milwaukee, or that you would have to leave your homeland of Syria. Tell me about why you left, when you left, and how you felt it necessary to leave. Michael?
Well, I want to say good afternoon for everybody first. And it was unexpected, as you said. To wake up one day and know that the threat is serious now and you have to leave. So we left during the beginning of violence in our city, Aleppo. During the days we left, the bombing was in the city. The bombing started in the city, the violence and the fightings between the government and the other militants, started around that time, and it wasn't easy to stay, or wasn't comfortable at first to stay, and it was seriously, threatening, when you hear the bomb and the building is shaking, it's serious. So it's serious that, like, the next one, you never know when the next one is going to be, it might be in your building or somewhere else. So the threat was real. We decided to leave at that time, and we were with my mother. The first night was terrifying, I would say. Terrifying is maybe a simple word to describe that night when you don't have electricity, you can't turn on the TV to see the news, the cell phone network is down, pretty much you're stuck there waiting for the next morning so you can know what's happening, I remember just staying all that night awake. I think John could sleep that night. I don't know how, but he's tougher than me. But it was a very terrifying night. Then the next day we decided all together that we have to leave. So the details are written in the story. So we just called somebody we knew in the bus station and we left because we knew it was... it was very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And John, you didn't have time. I understand you had time to pack one suitcase. You each packed a suitcase and just threw things in it and left everything else behind.
Yes, the time was pretty short because we've had, like, by the time we left or by the time we made the decision, we had been there for like 2 days or like, and my mom was, we were debating if we're leaving or not. So I just, it was Tuesday night and I was like, okay, so it's been happening for 2 days and are we leaving or are we staying? You have to tell me right now. So I just planned on it. I kind of like to plan. Even
right, you weren't able to do much planning this go around.
So she said, like, she kind of had like a moment and she looked at me and she's like, we're leaving. Mm. So I was like, thanks for making a decision. And I just packed a small suitcase and that was it about. Yes, I didn't have a lot of time to do it. Mm-hmm. I remember before we left, Michael looked at me and he's like, maybe just go back and take something else with you because we might not be able to come back. And the whole idea was like, we're going to go for a week or maybe two and then it's going to be all figured out and we'll come back. Mm. So I remember running back to where the laundry spot, like, was filled with clothes, and I brought one of the flannels I really liked, and actually it's till today with me. So yeah,
reminds you of home.
Yeah,
you grew up Christian in a country that is predominantly Muslim. Mm-hmm. Was it fairly peaceful for you growing up? Was there tension between the two faiths growing up or not?
Growing up as a Christian, I mean, we grew up with all our Muslim friends before the war started or before the protests start. We didn't really talked in about religion in front of our friends. We respected each other and mm-hmm. we just lived in the community, you know. And we knew that speaking in politics or religion was something we want to avoid because these kind of issues starts violence, you know. So we were usually, I would say, like, we had really good Muslim friends, and we never had problems just because they are who they are and we are Christians,
yes.
You know. So it was I would say Syria was a secular country, and when I say that means your religion is what you believe, but the country is secular. It was secular country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I mean, now I don't know. It's a war country. I don't know what to call it other than war country.
It is a war country.
Yeah.
And after the Arab Spring, after what happened in Tunisia and Egypt and other countries, you had hopes, I believe, that maybe things were going to be turning for the better in Syria mm-hmm. until Assad addressed the nation.
Yeah, we had a lot of faith in our president. We loved our president, and with everything he stated and he said, we had a lot of hopes because he always presents till now, like, he talks in a very positive attitude with very great thoughts and ideas, and so we had a lot of hopes mm-hmm. that we're gonna prove it to the whole world that Syria is different and we're going to overcome all the issues together. So we had a lot of hopes, mm-hmm. yes, when the Arab Spring was happening. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. When you left, did you have any idea where you were going?
Well, first we knew that, like, in order to leave the country, we needed to have a passport. So we left to a safer place, a safer city that we had home at. You know, my dad was there waiting for us.
He
was
Your dad is a minister.
Yes, my dad is a pastor, and he's a pastor with the CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance. And we had home in that city, so we went there to meet with our dad, which was supposed to come during these violence days back to Aleppo. Mm. So we told him, don't come. It's serious this time. It's not like every week, you know, we hear bombs far outside of the city, you know. This is serious, and I remember calling my dad the day before and telling him it's very serious this time. So we left, we got our passports, and then we had an idea that the easiest country to go to during that time was Lebanon. I mean, when I say the easiest, the border wasn't like, the borders were like open, not closed like some days. These days they have more restrictions on the Lebanese government put more restrictions on the border because it's their country now is full of refugees.
Yes.
You know, so we knew that we were going to go to Lebanon, and a family like a pastor, a friend of my dad, his family received us, and the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Lebanon actually received us, and I can say that they were a family to us. They loved us. They took care of us. And until this day, I even we're away from there, we still have a family in Lebanon that we call and friends that we care about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we knew we were gonna go first to Lebanon and then try to figure it out there. We knew that as we talked about before in the article, our main focus was to restart education because of the war, you know, the university wasn't safe. Everything was not safe. It wasn't safe to stay in Syria. So we wanted to move somewhere so we could continue our education.
And you're studying, what are you studying? What's John studying?
I'm studying at the Lubar Business School at UWM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm John is accepted for electrical engineering.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's studying, he's still in his freshman year, so he's got a lot to work on, you know. Yeah. But I'm a junior.
His brother will help. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try hard. Sure. I'm trying to convince him to come back to business, so I don't know. I mean, come to business.
Right.
Back to me, you know.
We'll hear about Lebanon to the United States, and a lot of people, you've depended on the kindness of complete strangers for the last few years of your life, and people have been there for you, which is amazing. We'll also want you to get your guitar out because
sure.
We're in a year-end membership drive, too, but we'll come back with one of your songs if you don't mind. We're talking with two Syrian brothers who have found a new home in Milwaukee, and they are Michael Szabo and John Szabo. They fled Syria in 2012, pretty harrowing journey and a lot of violence in the country. They're lucky that they are alive now. And we'll talk about their trip to Milwaukee, how they happened to come here, how difficult it is for asylum seekers, how you seek asylum in another country. If you're a refugee, how you are able to stay in a country, the whole long process, because there's been so many questions about how difficult it may be and whether or not the process is thorough enough. So we will discuss that, the kindness of strangers and their parents, too, who remain in the Middle East. So we have a lot to carry on with, and we'll do so in just a moment. And welcome your phone calls if you'd like to join our conversation. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 on the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and Scotty Myers is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. This is also listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is our year-end membership drive. It's a time for you to think about how much you have learned from and enjoyed WPR. I should think about that, too, how much I've learned from this show. It's just been amazing during 2016. And then think about how you would like to keep all these programs on the air in 2017, which happens to be our 100th birthday.
Mm.
Take action with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello again, Scotty.
Hello, Kathleen. This is so lovely because we have Michael in the studio
sort of
warming up his guitar, and it's beautiful ambiance as we talk to you, our listeners. And as a producer, I just want to say I want to get back to the show because I want to hear from Michael and John. But this is my favorite thing. We're hearing from folks who have come from Syria. And where else are you going to get that? So think about that right now as you're listening to this conversation. Last hour, we heard from 19 of you, and 7 of you were new members. And we really appreciate it. That goes a long way. Right now, this is a big deal. A dollar-for-dollar match. Make that money stretch. And that's up to $2,000. And this is a generous match from current members, including an anonymous listener from Madison. And it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
It makes an important hour for giving because of double the amount of money that you mm-hmm. give, which is great. It's their way of encouraging you to support them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you double your your support for all the programs you love when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and the entire community. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Make your pledge even easier for yourself. When you become a sustainer, choose a monthly amount that's right for you. Could be $10 a month, could be $15 a month, whatever month's comfortable for you. And you can have it sort of ongoing and charged from your bank account or credit card.
Whether you're a sustainer, when you are one, rather, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. You can do so by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it really is the most efficient and powerful way that you can give.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those facing hunger. President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dan Stein, explains the statewide need and how your gift can make a difference in your community.
What we're finding is whether it's rural or urban, the percentage of people in need is pretty similar. Nearly 700,000 different people sought help last year and struggled with hunger. 1 in 8 that live here. 1 in 5 of those are children. And that means about 250,000 children across the state struggled with hunger sometime last year.
This drive, when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to do 2 good things at once.
Yes, it is. 2 good things at once. Make your donation in support of all the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Scotty Meyer is joining me. And Scotty is brilliant in putting these kinds of shows together. He's right. We are speaking with people who are here from Syria, and their stories are important in many, many ways. We're also here to raise the money that keep this station, this program, these kinds of conversations on the air. We can't tell you how important it is to have all of these conversations on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And when you give to WPR, it's an investment that gives back, whether it's conversations about the trajectory of Donald Trump's presidency or whether we're speaking directly to Syrians. These are the conversations that we have on WPR's Ideas Network. So if you've never given before, become our next new member right now.
And do think about all that you've learned. I'm going to think about that over the weekend. We've learned so much, and we are here learning because you're here as a listener and also as a donor. Become a new member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with a pledge of $5 or $10 a month. And thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. We really think you'll be darned happy with your investment in the programs that you rely on.
We heard from a listener who said, I love people coming together in community to support WPR. It's a nice comment. Absolutely.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And we agree. Membership drives are a great time for you and for us to share our enthusiasm for the programs and the service that we all love. We should tell you this is the last hour, Scotty and I, that we'll be asking for your support during 2016.
Wow.
And so this is an important time for you to pledge to us. Plus, we got that Double Your Money thing going on. Plus, you can give money to a food bank. So who could ask for anything more?
All right, let me remind you, a dollar-for-dollar match right now this hour, up to $2,000. That's in effect now. Help us pay for the cost of this station, and we'll make sure that this is something interesting for you to listen to. So that's your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Scotty was talking about what pledges mean. They're promises, really. And we promise, and I don't think we've let you down. Have we let you down this year? No, we haven't let you down. We pledge to bring you great shows every day, and you pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
Absolutely. So it looks like we have heard from 11 of you already.
Great.
So
thanks,
that is
everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I want to make sure that we return to our guest this hour. It's an important show. But do pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, Scotty. Thanks for all that you do. As we said earlier, the Syrian brothers who are with us in our studio are musicians, and they have been interested in music and playing music since they were very, very young, and they're doing music at the church where they are right now, and we asked them to bring their guitar and keyboard. Unfortunately, we can't get the keyboard plugged into our studio, but before we hear what you're going to play, I want you to set it up for us, but tell us about how your father rescued this guitar, really. He risked his life to get this guitar for you. Mm-hmm.
Well, after we moved to Lebanon, my dad was in the other safe city, and he told me that he needs to go see the church in Aleppo and see some people there. So the first thing came to my mind. I'm like, Dad, my guitar is still there. I actually had four guitars at our apartment.
Aww.
And John's keyboard, which this is the only thing that got out of the apartment, you know, this guitar. So so after I told him, but don't go if I told my dad, don't go if you're just going for the guitar. The guitar is not important, you know. It was hard, even like if some days, you know, during that time, the situation would be calmer a little bit, so no big bombs, just shooting. The roads to get to Aleppo were kind of 95% to 99% blocked, you know? So you never know who's going to stop you on your way, who's going to rob you, who's going to take all... So I was trying to tell my dad, please don't go if it's very risky. So he went there, he grabbed the guitar, and then he sent it to me through another transportation company, you know. That morning that the guitar arrived, I received a phone call very early from the bus driver. He called me and he was like, Michael, this is... he said his name, and then he said, we will arrive around 9 to the bus station in Beirut. So there is something from your dad for you.
Aww.
And I know when he said something, I know the thing was the guitar. And I remember I had a friend sleeping over at our place. So as soon as my friend woke up, I'm like, let's go right, like 9 is going to be there. So I was there earlier, actually, to pick up the guitar. And the first thing, I picked up the guitar, I opened it, and in the bus station, which is very awkward there in the bus station to open an instrument. So people start commenting, oh, you want to play something for us or something? And I'm like, no, I just want to see if this is like safe and nothing is broken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
So what will you play for us?
Well, I thought of so many different songs, and I know now the season is Christmas, so I'm not going to sing Christmas, unfortunately, if you're expecting that.
But do whatever you want.
This song was released last year by Chris Tomlin, which is a Christian artist here in the U.S., one of my favorite. And originally the song is by House Fire. I don't know where they are, but I know they're amazing musicians. The musical ministry called House Fire Musical Ministry, I think. It's called Good Good Father, and it's one of my favorite songs, because during the time this song was released, I was in the process of waiting for my asylum, and you know, it was hard, you know. I had friends and I had my church around me and the community, you know, everybody sympathizing, trying to help, trying to support, but there is still sadness because you're here but you don't know if you're going to be accepted or not. Accepted means you can have permanent residency and you could call this place home, you know, and you're safe. No one's going to send you back to Syria, to the violence, to the war. So this song brought peace to my heart. And it's called Good Good Father. It speaks about how God is good to us.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen oh many searching for answers, oh far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you very much. And you can take father in many different contexts in that song, right? When you just told the story about your father as well. You mentioned the process of asylum. John, why don't you tell us about how that is? We've heard from some politicians in the country that, you know, we don't know who these people are who are coming from the Middle East, from Syria. We have no idea who they are. They're coming across our borders in huge numbers. Yeah, from what I've read, it's not a very easy process for you to become a permanent resident of the States, is it?
No, it's not. And actually, the process is pretty clear, and it's a long one. And you basically apply after you get in, you get here. If you have a way to get here, once you get here legally, like on a status, either like visa status, like student status or work status or whatever is the status. Once you get here legally, you need to have a passport, and also you have to apply before 1 year of living here. So if you live here a year and a day, you're not eligible to apply anymore, and it takes a lot of work. But again, we're lucky to get people around us support us and help us in this process. Once you apply, 3 months after you apply to the asylum, you have the right to apply for a work permit, and then that comes also in like 2 months. So
it depends. Mine took like 5 months.
So
the process is not easy. A lot of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then once you have that work like authorization, you can only work, and you can only like you can get a driver license with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you wait until you hear from the immigration office about when is your interview, and then you go interview, and it's a pretty long interview. It could be 3 hours, it could be an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you wait to hear back about the last decision. Usually takes a long time. We know a lot of friends who have applied before us, and till this day they have not received the interview, or they had gotten the interview but they have not received their status. We got pretty lucky. We got our approval in like, I would say like 6 weeks after the interview, where we were amazed, and and I can't express my gratefulness to all those who support us.
But your parents are still back in the Middle East, and they would like to join you. I mean, they'd like to be here. I would imagine you'd want your family to be together, right?
I mean,
that's my dream. I don't know about John. What do you think?
I mean, often when we're driving, and like, it's one of the most common ideas that comes to our brains. Oh, I wish my dad's here. Like, we can hang out, get coffee, or like, I can take them shopping because now I work, I have a job. So, I mean, it'll be great, but I would understand it's not like the easiest
process
to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have much to say about that. And I understand why these kind of procedures are long, because it's a lot of, it's a huge to get a status and become a resident, and eventually in 5 years you get to be, to have the American citizenship. It's such a privilege to a lot of people, and me personally. So I understand why sometimes these processes take so long, but I mean, it's not easy. Waiting is so painful, and I think
I'm sure.
Without the support of the great people of Milwaukee, the amazing people at Eastbrook Church, and like just the community of Milwaukee, like we probably wouldn't be able to make it. And we experienced such a like generosity from the people in Milwaukee that we've never expected, and it's just mind blowing. How people were amazing.
People taking you in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been really wonderful. And it's not like we're all settled, and people continue to take care of us and help us and make sure we're taken care of. So, yeah, Eastbrook Church has a huge and major role in that, because through Eastbrook Church I got to meet one of Colectivo owners, Mr. Paul Miller, who gave me the chance to work. So having a job is also
one of the
most important things that you need. So
has everybody been welcoming, or have there been people who have said, go home, where are you from?
I would say 99% of people on the personal level are welcoming.
Really?
I don't think, I can't recall or remember anyone who said such a thing, like, mm-hmm. no, go home.
I mean, you hear the politicians, you know, sometimes say things, and, you know, sometimes what politicians say, I mean, they have their own views and reports that they're getting, but, and they say things maybe to comfort some people, and I don't know, but on the personal level, as we meet people, as John said, you know, most of our friends, I don't want to say most, all of our friends were supportive to us and very welcoming, I would say, from the day we arrived.
And actually, they're, like, excited to sit with us and hear our stories. And that's, like, you know, time is, like, the most valuable things we can talk about. And people just give us their time and, like, invite us over and be like, hey, wanna, like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. tell me more. So, like, mm-hmm. I'll check 100% of people who I met here. They're always show excitement, and, like, they are willing to listen and, like, talk and feel with you.
I'm glad to hear that.
So mm-hmm. it's amazing. Yeah. And I can't thank people enough here. So, yeah.
And there must be a place pretty deep in your heart when you hear, and I know you follow the news about what's going on in mm-hmm. Syria and what's going on in Aleppo. What's happening to Aleppo, which I understand is one of the oldest cities in the world, mm-hmm. is absolutely tragic. And that must just put a hole in your heart that's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. Does it not?
It's very painful to some days look at the pictures, you know. And just remember that, oh, I used to walk on this street and now it's bombed, you know. Mm. Used to meet with my friends in this place, you know, starting like the bombs that hit the university and the other places in Aleppo. Just I think the most valuable thing to us was our memories in Aleppo. And seeing the destroyed buildings and the destroyed places, this is the most painful thing. Material, I mean, guitar, yes. I mean, I'm thankful that my dad rescued, or other materialistic things. These, I mean, worth something, but there is something further than that. There's something worth more than that, which is your memories in that place, you know. You remember, like, the friends that we lost, whether they're from our church or from school, you know, just because of the war and because what's happening in Aleppo, you know, it's just painful to think sometimes about them, you know.
I'm sure it is.
I try not to fall. We don't have TV at home, so we don't watch TV. Mm. I guess we don't have time for TV. The only source for news is like websites and Facebook mainly. I mean, I don't go daily to CNN or BBC or any of the news websites. I just, if something pops up on Facebook, I'll just maybe click on it if it was interesting. Mm-hmm. But I try to avoid, you know, and Facebook is full of politics or the war, because right. we have friends that they're still in Syria, you know, they're on the ground and they still post news. And we have American friends who post news about Syria because they're interested in our story mm-hmm. and they're our friends, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you try to avoid looking at the news. It's yeah. pretty painful.
Well, and you have to be careful, I'm sure, about being politically outspoken because you yes. have family yes. there still. You have friends there, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. there could be retribution.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a serious thing.
Yeah.
We're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we are speaking this hour with two Syrian brothers who have made their home here in Milwaukee after their hometown of Aleppo was bombed and it was no longer safe for them to be there. And as a result, they had a long journey to come to Milwaukee, of all places, and are building lives, brand new lives, right here. So we welcome your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number, and this is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and it's you who make WPR programs possible when you make your pledge of support during this, our very important year-end membership drive. We invite you to join in and help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's some good news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including an anonymous listener from Madison. Your gift of 50 turns into 100, and if my math serves me right, $100 pledge turns into $200.
Oh, you're good. Look Scotty, at that. That's good. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're really looking for two pledges by the end of the hour. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Scotty produced this show. Scotty has a great eye for seeing shows that you don't normally hear on the network or on this program, and they're just so important to have asylum seekers from Syria with us in our studio, two lovely young men who have found their way to a whole new world, and we're talking about that. So we actually hear from people rather than putting them in categories, and it's so important, and he does that all the time, finding people whose stories are worth hearing. You don't get a show like this many other places, really, and the show is possible only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So please give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
And you get all those things on this station. In fact, the quality of what you get from WPR is really unmatched. Become a sustaining member with 9XM Leadership Gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So what does public radio mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions, federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the single largest support of WPR's budget. And it's your contribution of any amount that really matters, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network connects you with experts. How many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to the editor of a magazine or a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist? You can't do that. Or with Syrians. It's not easy to do all the time. So, and the Ideas Network brings those experts to you. We deliver that and help make that possible for us. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now, and it's a great time to pledge because current members, including an anonymous listener from Madison, will double every dollar you give. Double the impact of your pledge. WPR.org 888-202-2552.
The year-end membership drive is so important. It's vital. There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network, and we rely, and you rely on these discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's why your gift is so important.
Help us put a strong finish on 2016 so we can continue to bring you the issues and talk in the months ahead. Give your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, just a reminder that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Two pledges to go. Please help us get there. And that the way to do that is to go to WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And we want you to join listeners like Louise and Robert from Wauwatosa who say, my radio is turned to WPR whenever I am home. I am listening right now. Thank you, others, say, for providing quality radio programs that both educate and entertain. It is our sincere pleasure. Let's welcome phone calls for our guests who are asylum seekers. They have received asylum, and they are now permanent residents of the United States after a long and harrowing journey from their hometown of Aleppo. Our number is 800-486-8655, and let's start our phone calls from our listeners with Dan in Washburn. Hi, Dan.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I don't know if this is constructive, but I just wanted to wish Michael and his brother, I'm glad that they're here, and your message of love from God is terrific. And anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
That's saying a whole lot. There aren't many refugees in the state of Wisconsin from Syria, but there are some, or people who have been granted permanent status. Do you have a community with each other? Is it important for you to be in touch with people who have made a journey similar to yours? John?
I would say it is important, but I have, like, the community I'm involved in, like, the refugee community is mainly with Iraqi people. So I've not seen a lot of refugees who are from Syria. I know a couple who go to UWM, they have not granted their status to. So we are, yes, in a community, we, like, try to get to see each other every once in a while. We attend, like, I would say public events together sometimes, but yeah, again, the Syrian refugee community is not large in Wisconsin. That's why, and I'm like, every time I hear from someone, oh, I met a couple of Syrians, like, look, can I have like their contact info? Because
I'm
like,
sure.
it's not that big of a community,
right?
Yeah, but and we would like to be connected with,
of course, yeah,
with the Syrian refugees and help. I know now for all the newcomers, language would be a big barrier, you know, and we, John and I have helped before some Iraqi refugees on the south side of Milwaukee, and we would love to continue to help our people that from our country, you know?
Yes, yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure. Maybe in case people are interested, call us and we can link you with people as well. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how you learned English. You guys worked at this really hard, and you didn't know English. So here, you're moving to a new country, and you had to put yourselves to the task.
Yeah, actually, again, because I mean, education was one of the main or like the most important things we wanted to achieve. So the way to get into university was to have a good English, because I mean, you need a good English to go to school, at least to be able to do well.
Yes.
And before that, we were in college. Our universities in Syria were so hard, I mean, almost impossible. So the shift wasn't that hard, because from like engineering, heavy physics, and accounting, and all of that stuff, to just like 4 hours every day of reading and watching videos and movies without subtitles. I'm like, I'll do it. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. So it was such a treat for us to be able to learn English. And I think learning is not always fun, but I mean, definitely it was a great experience. We were also like blessed and lucky with the teachers we got. I mean, we had amazing teachers who helped us a lot in Lebanon to learn English. We didn't have the chance in Lebanon to speak a lot of English, because like, you know, everyone there speaks Arabic. So like, if you needed something, you will just use your Arabic. But the time we got into the car from O'Hare coming to Milwaukee, I found out that, okay, this is going to be English from now on. And after like 10 minutes in the car having conversation with the pastor from the church who picked us up, I was like, whoa, I can have conversations in English. This is cool. So I got over it. Yeah.
That's great. But it's taxing in a way. It makes you tired, doesn't it? Because it's not exactly, it's not your first language. So until you're really, really fluent, which you sound pretty much now, you have to work at it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely it was a lot of work. At some point, we had to think in Arabic and then translate, which is was really exhausting, but we got over this, like, I would say, like, a while ago.
Yeah, so. I think you did.
I think our English got shaped here, you know?
Yes.
We started learning there, but the
of
shape
course.
Of the American
yes.
accent and knowing
right.
how
Dialogues.
To answer and what to say
yes.
here. And this means in our culture this. And that's a big thing, you know, when you answer.
Yes.
Somehow you say, hi, Michael. You know, I would answer somehow in a way that I think I'm saying proper English, but I'm not, because this is inappropriate somehow.
Right, right.
So, yeah, our English got shaped here a lot, especially by the two families we stayed with most of the time.
They would correct us.
They would correct us.
Like, oh,
you know, the Mons
that.
Family and the Rashinsky, especially Marie Greco. We still have this game. Like, if I miss a verb in a sentence, she would tell me, you missed the verb. And at the Mons, when we go to dinners or we celebrate with them, anything, they would, like...
Correct us
as well, you know? In love
That's how
and
you learn.
Gentleness,
yeah.
you know?
Yes,
both of families with love and gentleness.
Nice. Let's go to Mary in Milwaukee. Hello, Mary.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Don. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mary. I think I know who I'm talking to.
Who are you, Mary?
How are you guys?
We're doing good. Mary is a friend of mine. I met at Collective when I first started working.
Oh.
Okay, she's going to be mad at me right now, but she was teaching me how to brew coffee manually, and I probably wasn't the best learner, so she was like, I can't do this anymore. Could someone else help him? But she doesn't remember that. Anyways, probably was a busy day.
I just wanted to say that I'm really glad you guys are here, and that everybody who's listening should know that you guys probably contribute more to this city than a lot of people I know who have lived here their whole lives, including me, because these guys are some of the busiest people I know. They're always doing things to help other people, and it's awesome to see this.
Thank you.
Now
so much.
They're getting noticed for what they do, too.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. I personally love you a lot and appreciate everything, and you're great and you're successful, and I look up at you, so
thank you. Thanks so much, Mary, for calling. Just briefly, because we have to do our year-end membership drive, I know you had pretty clear dreams when you were living in Syria. Have your dreams changed, or you still have similar dreams as you're in America?
Our dreams, I mean, of course have little changed, but the main thing, which is at some point in our life we would like to do music, professionally travel and share our story and sing, and like just declare the name of God, because he's been faithful to us and he's never left us alone, so we would like to just proclaim that. And
well, I hope
share
you're
our
able
stories.
To do that. Mm-hmm. You're just sweethearts. Thank you both
Thank
so,
you so much,
much
for
being
us.
With us. Thank you. And if we want to make connections, how do we do this, Scotty? Grab a microphone. If people, you know, they want to make connections with other Syrian asylum seekers or refugees who might be here, can we accomplish this somehow?
Absolutely.
As your producer?
Let's encourage folks to contact us on the Facebook page, the Kathleen
yes,
Dunn Show on
of
Facebook,
course.
And we'll
okay.
make sure to get everyone connected. So,
good.
Yeah, that's a good
All
way
right,
to do
good.
It.
Good. And there is also Michael and John's picture will be on
Absolutely.
Facebook.
And Mark's article from the Journal Sentinel.
And Mark, whoa!
So many things.
So many things. Thank you both so much for being with us. Michael Chabo and his brother John, they have arrived fairly recently from Syria, and they are now residents, and people are happy to have them here in Milwaukee, which is now their permanent residence. Thank you, Scotty, for finding them. That was great. Scotty Meyer is joining me, and it is our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio, our last chance to ask for your support of this program. And I know you count on us for programs like this, and we count on you to keep them on the air. Your gift right now makes a huge difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And I just want to cue Michael to play a little instrumental in the background here as we
you.
Close out.
Oh,
if you could do
excellent.
That for us, that would be great.
Thank you, Michael.
Let me remind you, we're doing a dollar-for-dollar match right now that is in effect. We only have a couple of minutes, and we want to make sure we hear from you, from current members, from new members, and this dollar-for-dollar match is in thanks to an anonymous listener in Madison. So $50 turns into $100, $100, and $200, and so on. So take advantage of this. Make it work. And WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation. It's not often we have a chance to meet with people who are here from Syria, because there aren't many people here from Syria, and their story was very moving. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, for great conversations, and entertainment. So the 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
Keep our connection strong to you and to all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's an idea. Make your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift of $15 or $20 a month or whatever amount fits your budget. You can set that up with a credit card, a debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. And when you make that kind of sustaining gift, you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening, month after month, year after year. Become a sustainer right now. Make an ongoing gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about this. How many times have you listened and had that driveway moment, something really interesting and captivating? Think about those moments. What is that worth to you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Scotty, so much. And we're the last couple minutes that you can pledge to this particular show. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this very interesting show and all of his cheerfulness and good ideas constantly. Thank you to Katie Madsen-Cyrus for doing on-air production. And thanks to our guests for being here. Until Monday.